Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You know, I'm just thinking recently that it's been a long time since we've really talked a lot about the end of the age and the things that the Lord has shown us. We've made reference to it. And you sort of feel like, well, everybody knows that. But, you know, generations come and go, and, you know, these are truths that we need to have fresh in our minds, especially as we see things unfolding. There's no question we see the things that God showed us so many years ago unfolding. He didn't, you know, he's revealed to us the loosing of Satan, but he also revealed that we were at the 11th hour of Earth's history and showed us what was going to happen in that last hour and how it was going to turn out. And here we are in the middle of that, watching it unfold, and we need to be aware. We need to live and walk in the light of what God is showing us. And amen to what Ricky has said. In a way, I'd love to have that at the end of this, but we'll see what the Lord has. But anyway, he has already read this passage in the King James. I'm not going to reread it, but anyway, what Jesus has been talking about is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think most of you realize that among the Israelites, among the Jews, their concept of a kingdom was a very earthly one. In fact, that's what you get with natural people. They're thinking in terms of this world. The world is planning on how is the human race going to go forward. Well, Israel had prophets that were sent to them. They rejected them, but yet there was a message that promised a kingdom, a Messiah who would establish a kingdom, and it would rule over the world. And what God was doing was concealing his purpose from the devil until it was time. And it was a kingdom, it was very real. But it's not a political kingdom. It's not, Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with your careful observation. It's not something where you're going to be able to see, there it is, or there it is, or there's the headquarters, this is the organization. It's none of those things, none of those earthly things. It's a kingdom that is more real than any kingdom that exists, because this world is going to pass away. Everything about this world, as we've said so many times, is totally temporary. And how often do we live as though this is what it's about, and it's not? But anyway, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And you know that when John came, and then in the ministry of Jesus, they proclaimed the kingdom. And it absolutely came forth on the day of Pentecost. The kingdom was Jesus Christ reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How many of you know that the lost sheep was not all of Israel? He looked some of them in the eye and said, you're not my sheep. But he also said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, and there shall be how many folds? One fold, one shepherd. God had in mind a kingdom that was very real, that was established in the hearts of people who were born of his Spirit, of the very life of heaven. And they would come first from the remnant of Israel that were really his sheep and not the others. Judgment was coming upon them. But God was establishing a kingdom, and it burst onto the scene on the day of Pentecost with great power. And it began to reach out among the remnant of Israel. Then it began to reach out among the Gentiles. And Jesus said that the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end would come. So there is a process. God has allowed this world to exist with all of its corruption and all of its sin. But in the midst of this, his purpose has always been to call out a people, to bring them to a place of genuine heart repentance and faith in his saving power, so that we might receive a life that has nothing to do with anything you can get in this world, nothing you can get by any of your own efforts, but a supernatural life that is born into the heart. That's exactly what Ricky was just talking about. Folks, if people don't have this, they don't have anything. You don't have anything. And that's a lot what this passage is about. But anyway, he talks about he pictures the kingdom in some places as like a crop. You plant it and it grows up and there comes a time of harvest. It is a limited deal where when the purpose of God is finished, that's the rest of his purpose for this world. There is no more reason for it to go on. That's why Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. Boy, I want his word, don't you? I need his word. I need it this morning. I need it every morning. We need him. Thank God for his promises, for the hope that we have in him. But anyway, that's what he's talking about. But now in this context, Matthew 24 and 25, he's talking about the kingdom not just as it's going to be spread, and he does mention that, but he's talking about the end of the age, and he pictures a time when, contrary to popular doctrine, Jesus is going to come not in some secret rapture. He's going to come openly with a loud trumpet, and angels will be sent forth to gather his people out. Folks, what do you think happens when that's over? There's nothing left. He tells you what's going to happen to those left behind with Noah. That's in chapter 24. You look in 17, he brings Sodom into it. But he made a preparation to rescue his people. Every single one of them were rescued in Noah's day and made safe and removed from the scene, and their judgment fell. And what happened to those who were left behind? Every single one of them died. That's where this world is headed. That's how serious this is. It's not about churchianity. It's not about fixing the world. His kingdom is not of this world. And folks, that's one of the things that it's good. We need to see this. We need to see that God's purpose is not to fix the world. It's not to fix America. Much as I'd love to see things happen in a different way, that ain't what's going to happen. We need to see past all of the issues of this world and say, what is it really about? I'd be glad if, you know, my hope is not in a political party. It's not a political leader. I may have my preferences as to how I would like things from a practical standpoint to go on, but that's not where my hope lies. As a matter of fact, if we understand the scriptures, we know it's not going to go. God's not going to save America. God's not going to save the world. There will never be that kind of peace on earth. He's never coming down and imposing his government on a lost world that has rejected him. That's not going to happen. There's only one thing that's going to happen, and that's when he comes. He will rescue his own and destroy the rest. It's so plain in the scriptures. I'll tell you what happens is people will develop their own rules for understanding the Bible, believing they can understand it through study. And then they'll look at the Old Testament and say, aha, it says this, it says that. And then they'll build a whole system of ideas on that. And then they'll go to the New Testament and try to fit it all in. That's what they're doing. Folks, I want to look at the revelation of Christ unfolding in the New Testament when the thing that was a mystery now begins to be unlocked. Then you can look back and see what the prophets were really talking about. Yeah, they were talking about Israel, but who was Israel? Who was a Jew? You know, I wrote an article on that way, way back. Folks, God doesn't see Israelites. He doesn't see Jews the way man does. Though the children of Israel are as the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and so forth. There's so many, the truth is so plain. And I believe God wants to reestablish or wants to refresh our minds about some of these things. The one thing I don't want to do, I don't want to get to the point where we stand up here and just simply regurgitate our doctrine so that we can make sure we're all right theologically. That's not what we need. We need God's heart. We need God's message, because this is relevant to what we're doing right now. It's not just about believing the right stuff about what's going to happen down there. This has relevance today and the things that Ricky was talking about, that's at the heart of it. Because that's why the Lord wants these things to become real, not so we can be theologically correct, but so that we can have a relationship to Him and walk with Him and have what we need to be ready for all of that. Amen. Praise God. So he's not just talking about the kingdom of heaven, but he's talking about the kingdom at that time. And as he unfolds this, we're seeing some things that are coming. Deception is certainly one of them. Ricky referred to that. There's a powerful deception, and it's one that God allows. We've talked about this from 2 Thessalonians 2, how God allows there to be a spirit of deception in the world that is so total that mankind is just totally blocked from having any further capacity for God or truth. You're watching, you're not seeing this happen, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to unfold, and we're just watching it. I don't know what the time frame is, but I know what God has shown us, and I believe it's happening, and we need to walk in the light of it and live in the light of it. So that's one thing, is deception. You're going to see persecution in a greater and greater way. I don't know exactly how all this is going to play out. But we just need to be ready to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you and trust you with whatever comes. You're going to give me the grace with whatever you call me to walk through. But I am yours unconditionally. I'm not yours as long as life goes my way and I can ask you for what I want and get what I want and just make my own life in this world. I am yours come hell or high water. What did it cost Jesus to follow in his Father's will? That's what it costs you and me. To lay down our lives and give them to him unconditionally, but with the promise that as we do that from the heart, that he will indeed share his very life with us. There will be a spiritual resurrection to a life that can never die. Folks, that is what the issue is. And that, boy, as we come down to the end of the age, it's going to become more and more apparent who's on what side. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold, depending on the translation. We're going to see that. We're going to see family members betraying other family members. That's happening in other parts of the world right now. Folks, Jesus did not come, as he said, to bring peace, but a sword, and he's going to divide sometimes in the middle of families. Boy, God's going to prove the reality of those who have the goods, who've given him their hearts, because anything short of that is going to come up short. That is the unfolding message. You know, right before this, he talks about how there are servants to whom responsibilities have been given, okay? And how they carry them out is pretty revealing, because there's one who's a faithful servant, and even though there's a delay, seemingly, he just goes on and he does what he knows to do because it's the right thing to do. Folks, we're going to have to walk by faith. We're going to have times when there are no feelings and it doesn't look very good. But I'll tell you, God's word is still true. And just as we have so many examples in Scripture of this principle of somebody walking when it didn't look right, didn't look good, but yet God honored faith. And so the faithful servant just kept doing what his master had told him to do, came to the end and was rewarded. But what happened to another servant, quote, unquote, he began to say, wait a minute, this is going on, and I've got other stuff I'd like to do. And so he began to eat and drink with the drunken, began to party, he acted like anything other than the faithful servant. What happened to him? He was out the door. What happened was not somebody who had it and lost it, but somebody who never really had it in the heart. Over and over again, that is the message. That is what God is getting at. It has to be something that is real in here. If it isn't, something is going to bring it out. Okay? So that's the context. That's the time that he's talking about. What's it going to be like as we get closer and closer to the end? All right? Now he's talking about, he makes use of the custom of how a wedding was carried out in their day. And I want to be very careful not to try to make something out of every little thing, but rather to get to the heart of what he's talking about here. You know, a lot of times you had these elaborate ceremonies where the wedding party would be gathered, and then the bridegroom would then make a very special entrance. And I remember very, very plainly being in India. One of the times we were visiting Timothy, Brother Jimmy was with me on this occasion, and he had put us up in a hotel in a city that was actually on a beach. And we didn't go into the beach, but I mean, it was a, you know, reasonably nice place. And what we had become aware that there was some kind of a wedding scheduled, but we didn't know how it was going to open up or how it was going to unfold and what the traditions were. And so we woke up on Saturday morning, and just about daylight, all of a sudden, we heard what sounded exactly like gunfire. Well, we knew there was potential danger. There were people who didn't like Westerners, didn't like Christians, and we said, oh my God, what's happening? Well, what it turned out was the bridegroom was arriving on horseback with firecrackers. That was part of the ceremony. So, but Jesus is taking basically something that was part of their culture and talking about being ready for the arrival of the bridegroom, and that became a picture of the arrival of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. Okay? Now, one of the things that, I mean, there's so many parts to this. I don't want to belabor them, but of course it's at midnight, isn't it? The center of the story is at midnight. How many of you know that there is a point in time when God calls it midnight? God has a schedule. He knows the day, the hour. He's the only one that does know the day or the hour. But there is a time in which every process is absolutely fulfilled, and there is a darkness that Brother Ricky was talking about that is enveloping our world, and it's no secret. I mean, it's no surprise. God has told us, if you have people that absolutely harden their hearts and continually say no to God in here, some of them can be religious, but nonetheless, there is that inward resistance to really surrendering to Christ. There is a darkness that grows until you pass the point of no return and only judgment follows. Is that not what happened in Noah's day? The thoughts of men, the thoughts and intentions of men's heart were what? Only evil continually. There was no capacity anymore. They had resisted the voice of God because he said, I will know, and my spirit will not always. So what does that tell you? Had God just sort of left them alone, or had he been striving? Yeah, there had been an outreach. I'll tell you, my God is merciful. He had been reaching out, but they had been saying no, and they reached a point where there was no more capacity. Even then, he said, yet it'll be 120 years. Isn't that amazing? But you see the process unfolding of darkness and what happens when a civilization says no. What happened to the Jewish nation? When Jesus came, he came for the sheep, but what about the rest? Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. And when his disciples showed him the amazing construction of this temple, this magnificent building, he said, there's not one stone that will be left upon another. And he talks about the time of destruction when their enemies would shut them in and there would just be utter destruction, utter wrath poured out upon that people. I'll tell you, that's the there are two destinies. Either people are going to be part of God's kingdom, or they are going to literally be under the wrath of God. Amen. People don't want to hear that. But we need it. Yes. We need to have a realistic message out of this that is true to the Word of God. Jesus didn't hold these things back. He wept over Jerusalem, but he still predicted their downfall, predicted that the wrath of God was going to come upon them. And as we pointed out recently in a service, he even said, you've embraced the heritage of this lost, rebellious culture, this religious culture. You've embraced it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you apostles and prophets, and some of them you're going to kill and you're going to persecute them. And what I'm doing this for is because I want the guilt of all the generations to fall upon this generation, and then wrath is going to be poured out. Folks, we're seeing that period or that principle play out in our world today. The gospel has gone out. Thank God to some degree it's still going out. But the gospel has gone out as a witness to all nations, but we are seeing a separation take place. We are seeing God call people out, but we are seeing people that are exposed to that truth, rejecting it and saying, we are going to chart our own future. We have our own plans. We embrace that. And from God's point of view, it is darkness. It is gross darkness. And the fact that it's midnight, I think, is significant. You know, the Jewish day technically began at 6 o'clock in the evening, went to 6 o'clock the next day. So the night portion of it was from 6 to 6, isn't it? Midnight's exactly in the middle of that. I don't think that's an accident. I think God is saying this is an appointed time in the middle of the darkness of night. And what he's saying is all that has been unfolding all these years, it's coming to a climax when the only option, the only thing left, is judgment.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.